Bad Influence Academy. Welcome to the Bad Influencing Academy. Tonight we're talking about one of the worst serial offenders to hit Britain since 2008. His activities have been considered so offensive to the British public that he's been given a 2-month conditional discharge by the judge and his very own PlayStation 3 so that he'll keep himself out of trouble. I'm talking about none other than Jack Stomp, who has committed more burglaries, robberies, and deceptions than anyone else who has ever been featured on this programme. Also on the programme tonight will be WPC Roberta Evans, who dealt with the case of Jack Stomp.
Hello, hello, hello.
Very, very clichéd, that. Now, how long have you known Jack Stomp?
We've been acquainted with Mr. Stomp since he was a young man, a young boy, to be exact, in school. He's committed a litany of crimes over the last couple of decades. We've been very aware of his criminal activities, and we've not been happy about them, to be honest with you.
So let's see what he got up to in school.
Educating yourself into detention. School's for fools. School. The only thing I used to try hard at was not to be there. And the only attention I ever got from the teachers was when they gave a detention. But don't follow in my footsteps. I'm a loser. Do it stealthily so you don't get caught. Unlike me. When a teacher sets a homework, don't waste your precious life doing it. You're only young, unlike them. Instead, utilise the great Wikipedia. All you'll need is a printer and an ability to slightly paraphrase. But if, like me, you are caught out at it, you'll probably be sent to detention. Now, this is supposed to be a scary place. But it isn't if you just know how to blag around it a bit. If they ask you to do lines, for example, get one of those multi-chalk writing devices. And then, as the Spice Girls should have said, 100 becomes 1. But if you're not even up to that, there is of course always the option of being the total rebel and not even bothering to go to detention. After all, if you don't want to go to school, why would you want to go there? If they expel you, you don't have to go to school ever again. Result!
So he didn't last very long in school then, did he?
Well, quite rightly so. I mean, you know, would you want to go to school with a man like that? Would you want your children to go to school with a man like that?
It depends if I wanted to be educated or entertained.
Oh, well, that's a fair point, sir. But in the real world that's not inhabited by journalists, the general public like to feel safe.
Of course, he left school when he was 11, which is very young. And then, of course, he became a teenager.
Ugh.
Guide to being a teenager.
Let me start by telling you that peer pressure is very important. If you don't listen to those that you look up to, i.e. your mates, then who else is going to show you a good example of how to live life? They're young. They're not out of touch like your parents, and they know everything. Unlike teachers, they only know the curriculum, not life. Now you've got to start doing what they do. If they smoke, you must too, because it's a rite of passage. And you're young, full of vibes, full of energy, and you're out there in the big world. You must explore it, and you can't get tied down to the things that wreck adult lives, like institutions. You can't go to school, you can't go to work, you're free, and you answer to no one. In fact, if an adult even approaches you, that is a violation of your human rights, and you're quite within your rights to put them in their place. What you do in your day is entirely up to you. It is for no one to stand in your way. Now, if you're a teenager, I'm not going to tell you anymore. Just get out there and get living. Now!
Well, I'm getting the picture of a highly rebellious individual who doesn't respect anyone or anything. This was bad enough for his neighbours and those in authority around him. But what happened when he went on a trip?
Well, actually, he went to Wales. It was thought that while he was in Wales, what with the countryside and the mountains, that it would help rehabilitate him. No such thing.
Team building skills. It went quite the opposite way.
It was quite disturbing for the people of Wales. There was a family there that got very worried because he was trying to have a relationship with one of the girls from Wales. And let's say, didn't end well.
Jack Stomp became the only English person to have been kicked out of Wales in recent times. Let's find out why that happened.
When in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in Wales, do as the English do. Welsh advice. Help the Cymru. Sorry, I don't know the Welsh for that.
We all love going on a vacation to Wales.
No, we don't.
So this is a guide about how you can fit in best whilst you're in the land of the sheep. You want to blend in, but you also want to show the inhabitants who you are. And what better way of doing that than arriving in the campsite in your national party van and staying there using an English flag as your curtains? If you manage to survive the night, you might not have internet access. So you should visit a Welsh cyber cafe. While you're there, you can incense the locals by uploading an anti-Anthony Hopkins website. If the waitress comes over to see what you're doing, quickly cover up the screen using the bread and butter that came with your soup.
The Bad Influence Academy.
Ways you can stop having a girlfriend or boyfriend if you're the opposite gender. Here's why I used to have a girlfriend and I don't now.
The first thing I did that sabotaged our relationship was buying her a box of Cheerios and then giving her one of them as a wedding ring. Needless to say, that didn't go down too well, even after she'd ate it. So come her birthday, I bought her an iron. But when she tried to use it in the living room, I said, "Women belong in the kitchen, take it in there." That went down like a lead balloon. But to be honest, doing those things was not the reason why I'm now living in single city. You see, my last girlfriend was one of a set of twins, and I sort of accidentally slept with the other one. Needless to say that when they found out, I became permanently cross-eyed.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
It doesn't sound like he has a lot of respect for anyone. Not countries, not people, not property.
Not even for himself.
No, and the next clip that we're about to show you also proves that he is a highly dangerous individual.
Well, he's not very bright.
Because not only does he not have any respect for anybody, he is also stupid. Thoroughly stupid, yes. In his activities.
Oh, yes. Mindless.
This next one is a tale of criminal damage.
Pancake Day. A day to toss off or toss up. Hi, I used to be a chef until I got found out. Anyway, here's my recipe for making pancakes. First, you start with some pancakes, some eggs, some flour and some milk. You use your elbow to pat it down. Add some butter and then lots of fat and some cheese on top of that if you fancy it. Stick this mixture in a pan for 5 minutes and then it'll be ready to toss. Chuck it up in a kitchen with a low ceiling for maximum splat. Then squirt maple syrup and lemon juice in an upwards direction. The clever part is only some of this will stick to the pancake so it won't get too drenched. And then when you're done, get a paint scraper to slide the mixture off your ceiling and onto a plate that you're holding underneath it. Then finally, what you've cooked is ready to stick into your mouth regions. That's how to make a perfect pancake.
And that's not even the half of it. If you think that's bad, you want to hear about what he did with cycling. Well, at least he didn't have pancake on his face while he was cycling. That's one thing.
I assume the bike was stolen?
Well, naturally.
Cycling. If you're cycling on a narrow road with a steady line of traffic gathering up behind on your posterior, cycle more into the middle of the road to permanently delay that line of traffic, which might include a juggernaut. Don't worry if it starts to tailgate you, it just means that you've successfully aggravated it. If you have a phone and a call is incoming while cycling in busy traffic, answer it. Sure, your bicycle might be wonking all over the road into the path of an oncoming taxi, but it's not your problem, it's the other car's prerogative to get out the way, even if they have to swerve into a market stall.
Criminals like Jack Stomp are often attracted to various artifacts. November the 5th became a date that most local residents in his immediate vicinity came to dread every year.
And if you think that's bad, Well, on bonfire night, without doubt, he was always arson around.
So, it's November the 5th, and you're an arsonist. Luckily today, you're endorsed by the government. You can put anything you want to destroy, such as things you can't recycle or evidence from a crime you've committed, into a bonfire. But first, you're going to have to light it. Now, if it's been raining, which it usually does in England, you're going to have trouble doing that. So do you use matches? Hell no. There's a much easier and faster solution to lighting the blaze of the century. Fireworks. They're still legal. Don't waste them by throwing them up at the sky. Put as many as you can find into the centre of your would-be bonfire. Soon you'll have a display that you can see and feel for miles around. And when the police come looking for who'd done it, the evidence of your fireworks and bonfire will be completely obliterated. It'll be a successful day, because everything you wanted to destroy will now be atomised. So you'll be off the hook.
Oh, you haven't heard off of it. Not only that, not as only is he an arsonist and a pancake pilferer, he's also a petty vandal.
Jack Stomp had developed an infamous reputation for being more than a petty vandal. The scale of his activities began to rise and rise. It began with fireworks. It ended with the inside of a supermarket, as we show you his next case.
Supermarket and shopping advice. If you're looking for ways to make your shopping trip easier, then this advice is for you.
Shoplift.
To make the products easier to get at, carry a 1 meter ruler with you at all times and stick it out as you're walking down the aisles. And then the products will just fall effortlessly off the shelves into your trolley. But if you want to get access to the supermarket's products even more easily than that, then you can do a little trick with the pyramid of cans. Stick a homemade sign on them saying, "Buy the bottom ones, get the top ones free." And then the very next customers will cause an in-supermarket avalanche. And you can pick up one of the stray cans from the floor.
And they say Tesco's are all the same. Not this one. Not after he'd been there.
The Tesco Extra store in Wigan, where he had committed this heinous act, was never the same again. It later became an ordinary Tesco. So already the biography of Jack Stomp would include tales of property destruction, scant disregard for the safety of others and himself, and a complete ignorance of his responsibilities within a civilised society. As such, it should come as no surprise to you as a viewer that his next endeavour was one of benefit fraud. He had begun to run up huge bills with his credit card suppliers. Half of the cards were stolen. Before attempting to claim illegal benefits to pay off his debts, he devised a way to avoid his mail and the bills that he hated so much.
Avoiding mail. How can you avoid mail? It's easy. Install a paper shredder into your letterbox, and then instead of a letter drop, you'll just hear a faint whirring sound every morning. But if you really want to go the whole hog and completely avoid mail, then become a postman. That way you can completely bin your own mail, or at least send it to another address. How do you accomplish that, do you ask? By reordering the address labels on all the town's mail, so you get none of your crappy bills and catalogue subscriptions. A third way of avoiding mail is avoiding your postman by becoming an enemy of him. That way, he'll keep your best letters in revenge.
Well, I can just imagine the scene inside of his house of complete destruction. Would you like to live next door to this individual?
I don't think so. Even if he lived on his own. Out in the sticks, it still wouldn't be right, because to tamper with royal mail is an offence in this country.
But he hasn't just tampered with royal mail. He has tampered with the peace and security of his neighbours and community.
Yes, peace of mind lost.
Neighbours. Bloody awful, aren't they? Too bad we all have to live next door to them. Sometimes they are just too much to handle. E.g. they're playing music when you've got to be up in the morning to watch Jeremy Kyle. You can get some revenge. Face your best Denon speakers into an adjoining wall at 4 a.m. and then put a bass mix CD on. It won't be long until your neighbours try to ram your door down. And if you ignore them, they'll soon bring the council out.
who will also try to ram your door down, but this time accompanied by an environmental health officer. So things will have got pretty bad with your neighbours by now. So what do you do about it? Do you move? Do you heck? You grow a privet hedge, one that's taller than a skyscraper. That way, your neighbours will never see you again. But they'll still write to you. Via their solicitors, of course.
And the fact that he hasn't treated his neighbours in a satisfactory manner does not bode well to the way he's going to treat his actual environment. Take a listen to this.
Throwing trash where it belongs. On the floor. Litter bins are a mug's game. Why put your crap in there when it's weighing half your pocket down and a bin only shows up every mile or so? The way I look at it is that litter came from the earth in the first place. Why the hell then can't we throw it back there to where it belongs? Wrappers, for example, are usually made of oil. Are you telling me that we can't just slam them back into the earth? When they originally came from a very deep hole in the first place, why do we need to throw them into a bin? If, for example, you stick your crisp packet into the trash, it'll only end up in a landfill, even when the bin says that it'll be recycled. So the next time you're out and about with your pockets almost overwhelmed with sh**, remember, you don't need to look for a bin because it's everywhere around you. In fact, you don't even have to think about it anymore. Make it easy on yourself. When you want to throw something away, just chuck it behind you in a random direction. Job done.
And then, there's the fact that, actually, he's a real tea leaf. I mean, if you listen to this, this is outright theft.
Self-service restaurants. Here's a guide about how to dine at a restaurant when all you can afford to do is dine at a chippy. Walk into a restaurant wearing running shoes and a Linford Christie t-shirt and pick a table nearest the door. When it comes time for the bill, tell them that you would pay, but you've got to run. If they later catch you accompanied by police, tell them about how you had to hand-pick a cockroach out of your soup. Then all you'll probably have to pay is a visit to the court to get your compensation check. But sometimes it's not money that's the problem, it's the food. If you're just not feeling up to what you've ordered, you've got a handy implement on the table to help you. The menu. Use the menu to scrape the food into the bin. And if the nearby waiters wonder what the hell you're doing, just tell them that you're leaving them a tip.
The Bad Influence Academy.
Taxiing yourself around for free. Taxis can be a free form of public transport, providing you know where you're going and they don't. From the moment the taxi stops, you can open the door and do a runner. Just ask to be dropped off near a network of side streets and twisted alleys, through which you can find your own home. Not only can you use the taxi like a bus that's free, as long as you don't use the same company twice, you are free to do whatever you like in the taxi that the driver thinks that you're paying for. If you don't like the song that's playing on the radio, for example, because it's progressive rock, and you think that's actually regressive rock, then you can thrust your hands over to change it, manually. And you might feel a bit peckish on the boring journey. So you can get out a bag of Smarties and don't offer the driver any because he's too busy trying not to crash. And when you're finished and at your destination, you don't want Smarty wrappers about your person. Just stuff the wrappers down the back of the seat. They'll never notice, especially if it's the same colour as the upholstery.
Disgusting. Yeah, you just used to walk out, run off. That's just two examples of places he walks away from without paying. The other is garages, but it's not just private individuals that he steals from. He's taken all of us, we're all funding him, as he used to get job seeker's allowance. In fact, he still does in prison.
His claiming of state benefits became quite significant. Jack Stomp, like many other unscrupulous members of today's society, has made a lifestyle decision to take my hard-earned tax-paying money and not give a penny of it back. Having to go to work and a crap lifestyle. Work, yeah. It's alright if someone else does it. We all like money, but what if you actually get a job?
Yeah, right.
And if you get interviewed and get offered a position, say that you'll only work for them if you don't have to come in from Monday to Friday. If they then offer you weekends, say that they're no good either. 40 hours a week is too much for anyone. That's equivalent to watching 30 films. And you wouldn't even do that if you worked in a video store. If you take this advice on board, you're going to have to accept the fact that from now on you're going to have a craptacular lifestyle. First, you can get a job doing nothing and getting paid benefits. You can expect up to 45 a week. But after they sack you from that, you might have to take any old position, such as being a toilet cleaner, for example. Start your shift each day by taking a crap in your own bog and then later cleaning it up. After the smell hits the back of your throat, you'll know that you've been very successful in taking my advice.
And I wouldn't mind. He spends this benefit on indulgent activities, such as buying fireworks.
The fireworks that he bought caused far more damage than it did to the taxpayers whose money he used to buy them.
Trick or treating your way to material success.
What is the only time of year that you can walk up to a perfect stranger's house, knock on the door and demand goods? Halloween, of course. But don't use kids for your trick or treating. Although they are getting scarier these days, go in dressed as the real heavy people. Find out who someone's boss is, and come dressed as them, for example. Or even come in the get-up of a court bailiff.
I saw this trick in a movie.
Then you'll probably walk out with a DVD recorder and a computer with Windows Vista loaded on it. Or even a settee if you brought a van. Or if you really want to go the extra mile, come dressed as a supervillain. Like Osama bin Laden. If you do that, they sure as hell won't want to know what your trick is. So you'll probably come away with more treats than Asda's got in your bag. And lastly, here's an absolute surefire way to get those treats. Take along a pocket DVD recorder showing the Blair Witch Project. Any of your trick or treat victims who have young members to their family will have to cough up for your treat to get you to switch off the horror film that you're playing on your pocket DVD player right in front of them. Follow this advice and you'll be quids in this Halloween. You'll probably also throw up from all the treats that you've got.
And we talked about the way he treats his environment, about his littering activities. He brings it to a totally new level when you consider that his favourite pastime is fly tipping.
Whilst claiming an excessive amount of benefits, he bought an ungodly amount of consumables, most of which, when past their sell-by date, ended up fly-tipped.
Fly-tipping your way to success. Sometimes a regular bin just isn't big enough for the unbelievable amounts of that you accumulate during your short life. This is when a more dramatic action is needed than just dropping a packet of crisps. Because if your total trash for that week is any bigger than that bin that's only suitable for dwarfs, you'll have to pay to get rid of it. Which means that you'll be paying for your own crap. If you do that, you're more than an idiot because you're willingly coughing up for your own crap. Don't pay exorbitant council charges to get rid of it. Instead, there's a simple solution. Drive down a country lane and look for the nearest ditch and drop it off like a taxi driver that's just brought the litter to its rightful destination. Now you've got a reason to go to Wales for the day. But don't, whatever you do, dump out your address with the rest of your expired cack, because you'll find something happening to you that's more stupid than the goddamn fly-tipping rule. Council do-gooders coming down and slapping you with a fine. But if once you'd etch your address onto the back of that manky old settee before dumping it down Fish Pond Lane, and you get fined, you can give the money back to the council personally by fly-tipping it outside the council offices. That'll learn them. Treat someone like trash, and they'll act like trash.
This has been the Bad Influencing Academy. We have seen the truly shocking exploits of just one individual. His activities have ranged from theft, to vandalism, to racism, to all the other isms. You name it, he's done them. Once he even looked at someone the wrong way.
And it wouldn't surprise me too, if he was actually illegally taping this broadcast.
Indeed he probably is. I want to thank you, WPC Roberta Evans, for taking part in this programme. And that brings us to the close of today's Bad Influencing Academy. As we approach the end of the programme, we're going to look at what is the worst thing he has done to offend society. The other misdemeanours of antisocial behaviour, dangerous activities, and annoying escapades pale into near insignificance in comparison to his habitual violating of the copyright code. Not a single movie, film, music track, or picture in his possession was obtained legally. It is for this reason, and this reason only, that he is about to go down for 20 years. He could have been out committing the other offences that we've told you about in this programme so far until he was blue in the face. Under the laws of this country, he wouldn't have gone down. Let's listen now to the final clip in the programme, which was his undoing.
Copyright schmoppyright. How to break copyright.
Right. If you want to get rich really quickly, record your own original song and then download it illegally from LimeWire. Then you can sue yourself for $300,000. And when you get the payment from yourself, you'll be both simultaneously super rich and totally bankrupt. But if songs aren't really your thing because they only last around 4 minutes, then why not download a whole movie? You are flooded with choices of where to get movies these days. You can get them from Blockbuster, but that's only for the weak. If you're a real man, you download them from the internet, or if you're a real tough guy, like Sylvester Stallone, you take a high-definition dock-off video camera into a multiplex cinema and tape the films of your choice. If you're even harder, you don't even pay to get in. You sneak in. And now let's take a final look at the word copyright, according to the Oxford English Dictionary of Bullstation. Copyright, being an amalgamation of the two words copy and write, means to copy your things successfully.
This audio is copyright 2008. We expressly don't want anyone to do it.
And don't listen to and share this file in oil rigs, prisons, schools, or anywhere else of public entertainment value, including planes, airplanes, and the south of Antarctica. This copyright notice is also subject to copyright. Copying it and reading it and listening to it is expressly forbidden in all circumstances, except in those where a fee is payable.
Oh, shut the...
The Bad Influence Academy featured Astrid Jones and Corinda Hartley. Sketches written by Astrid Jones and ideas by Corinda Hartley. The sketches were produced by Good Laugh.
Bad Influence Academy.
The Bad Influence Academy was a Good Laugh production for Channel 107.